favor. Put your hands together, just like this. What y'all doing over there?
Hallelujah. Praise God and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First, I just want to say, y'all pray for me. Y'all that know the word of prayer, pray for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And pray for this broadcast on tonight that God will get the glory, that I find no part of myself in it, but God will get the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because it's not about us, it's about him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's really all about Jesus. We ought to be saying things and teaching things that lead people to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not about us and what we want, but it's about Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I come to you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and I just ask you to forgive us for our sins. I ask you to forgive us for our shortcomings. I ask you to forgive us, Father, for words, thoughts, deeds, Lord, attitudes, actions, Lord, anything that we've said or done this day, Lord God, that has been grievous to your spirit, Lord God, I ask you to forgive us right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, but I just want to thank you and bless your name today, Lord God. I just want to bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord. Father, I bless your name, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I bless your name and I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord God. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you for being God. I thank you for being my Lord. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I just bless you, Lord. I thank you and give you the praise and the glory and the honor, Father God. I thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray that this word tonight will fall on good ground, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, that as we plant, Lord God, that someone else will water in there. Father, you will give the increase, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just want to tell you thank you, Father. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your love. Father, I just want to give you praise and say that there is truly nobody like Jesus. And I thank you, give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say welcome to everybody to Blog Talk Radio. I want to say thank you to everybody on the phone line, everybody in the chat room. Thank you to everybody who may be listening in the archives at another time. Today is Saturday, November 19th, 2011. I can barely believe that it's November the 19th, 2011, but it is. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to thank God for allowing us to see November 19th, 2011, because we know that on today, many people didn't wake up. Hallelujah. Many people had plans for the day and thought they were going to do this and thought they were going to do that, but didn't even wake up to carry out those plans. So I thank God on today for allowing us to see another day, for just allowing us to be here in the land of the living. Glory to God. Sometimes we take that for granted and we forget to tell God thank you. Hallelujah. But I just want to say thank you on tonight to my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on tonight, if you read the promo, we're going to be talking about people going to church, sitting in church Sunday after Sunday, Sunday and Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Friday after Friday, whatever day they go to church, and still going to hell. I'm not making a judgment on anybody, but this is an issue that we want to address on tonight, glory to God. And the reason that I can address this, because that was me. That was me going to church week after week on the usher board, on the choir board, not choir board, but on the choir, you know, in Sunday school, secretary of the whole Sunday school, working closely with the pastor, riding around, you know, the pastor's driver, doing all her bidding and everything and all kind of things I was doing in the church, sitting there Sunday after Sunday, in 6 o'clock prayer every morning, in Friday night prayer almost every Friday, Wednesday night Bible study, every ministry class they had, even went on a mission trip to Africa, did all of that, and still found myself going to hell. And tonight, if we can help anybody, we want to say, examine yourself on tonight and see whether you be in the faith. Ask God to examine your heart tonight to see if there be any wicked thing in your heart, anything in you that displeases God. That is my prayer on today for myself, that whatever it is, whatever hindrance is in my life, whatever thing that's still inside of me that hinders me from walking out the thing that I talk about, whatever is inside of me that's hindering me from doing the will of God, I want to be clean. I want God to take it out. I want to be right before God. I don't want Jesus to have taken the stripes and the bruises and the wounds on my behalf and then I throw it back up in his face. I don't want to be, you know, preaching to everybody else and then find myself a castaway. I don't want to waste my time sitting in church week after week after week and, you know, coming on Blog Talk Radio or listening to other people on Blog Talk Radio and then still wake up in hell. I don't want to find myself short of the glory of God anymore. I don't want to find myself, you know, in the lake of fire because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of witchcraft, because I just want to do things according to what my flesh wants to do. I don't want to find myself in the lake of fire. I don't want to find myself living a hellish life on this earth because of disobedience to God. I don't want to keep blaming other people for things that I do that, you know, that's outside of the will of God. I don't want to, you know, say so-and-so did this and so-and-so did this. This is why I'm acting this way. I want to be clean before God. Hallelujah. And I declare on tonight that whatever is in my life, whatever it is, that I am clean by the blood of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me and washed me in the name of Jesus. And I was saying on this evening that I can hear clearly. I hear, you know, voices. I hear voices saying, you know, you've said this before and you've done this before. You're not going to change. I hear those voices, and I had to put Satan on notice and let him know. I know that's you. I know that you talking, and I declare and decree on tonight that I am holy. I am washed. I am sanctified, and I am justified by the blood of Jesus. And I hope that you all that are listening on tonight, I hope that you're declaring the same thing, that you are washed, that you are sanctified, that you are justified by the blood of Jesus, and that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment shall be condemned. And this is your heritage. This is my heritage, glory to God, because the word of God says is, and the word of God will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereto it was sent, glory to God, hallelujah. And if God's word said that we're washed and we're sanctified and we're justified, then we have to declare that we are washed and sanctified and justified. It doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter the lies that Satan tells. It doesn't matter that he's walking around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The word of God says that we're washed, that we're justified, and we're sanctified. We're washed clean through the word of God. Hallelujah. We're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're justified. Hallelujah. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we became justified. We came back. We became righteous. We came back into right standing. Hallelujah. With God Almighty, the creator. Hallelujah. Of this world. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We became righteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Satan would have us to believe that we're not righteous. Satan would have us to believe that because we made a mistake or we did something wrong, you know, that we're no longer justified, we're no longer sanctified, we're no longer righteous in God's eyes. But I declare tonight that Satan is a liar in the name of Jesus, glory to God, because we're not living a life that is a sinful life. We're not living a lifestyle of sin. And yes, we do make mistakes, and yes, we do things that are not right because none of us are perfect. But glory to God, we are justified, we are sanctified, and we are washed on tonight, glory to God, hallelujah. And that is the word of God, hallelujah, for all of us on tonight, that we are washed, we are sanctified, and we are justified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you don't believe it, start saying it to yourself, glory to God, that I am washed, hallelujah, by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am justified, hallelujah, because of his death, burial, and resurrection. Glory to God. And I am sanctified. I'm set apart to do the will of the Lord, hallelujah, to do the will of the Father in the land of the living. Glory to God, hallelujah. And yes, we fall, yes, we falter, yes, we do things that are not pleasing to God, but we have to recognize that when we do those things, that we need to repent, we need to turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I just grieved you, I'm sorry, I repent, I confess my sin before you, God, and I repent, and I ask you to forgive me, hallelujah, glory to God. Father, I, in my heart, hallelujah, I don't want to sin against you, I don't want to sin against you, I don't want to act like the devil, because I don't belong to him anymore, and I know, hallelujah, that I'm washed and justified and sanctified, so God, I submit myself to you, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, and ask you to forgive me, and I thank you for the newness of life, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what I have to learn to do more and more is to, when I feel the attack of the enemy, come on, just slaughter him right then in the name of Jesus, and don't give him any place. Glory to God, because sometimes we give him place. We just give him, we give the enemy too much place. We give him too much room in our lives. He shouldn't have any room at all. But sometimes, you know, depression comes, anger comes, sometimes anxiety comes, sometimes fear comes, sometimes things just come and we don't understand it. And sometimes at the moment we might not even recognize it. And the next thing you know, we done opened up the door and gave Satan place. But I declared on this evening, I said, Satan, you have no place in me. You have no place in my home. In the name of Jesus, you have no place in my life in the name of Jesus. So I declare war right now in the name of Jesus that, hallelujah, the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, every thought to the obedience of God's word, obedience of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah. And if y'all feel the same way, hallelujah, your own life, just say amen, glory to God, hallelujah, because it's not about us, hallelujah, it's not about us to the extent that, you know, the attention needs to be on us, but it's about us living holy, it's about us living justified, it's about us living sanctified, it's about us living like we've been washed by the blood of Jesus, like we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God. So I just want to tell God thank you on tonight, and I bless his name, hallelujah, glory to God. I just want to tell God thank you, hallelujah, because he, hallelujah, has saved my life over and over and over again. When I think about his mercy, when I think about his grace, I'd say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the word of God asks us in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we continue to sin that we might continue to receive God's grace? Shall we continue to sin so that we can experience God's grace? And Paul said, God forbid. He said, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid. So I'm saying that on tonight, God forbid, that we should continue to sin so that we can experience God's grace. So that we should, if we continue to sin, the Bible tells us that we should no longer continue in sin. We should no longer continue in sin. We should no longer desire to sin. We should no longer desire to walk in sin. Do we know, hallelujah, glory to God, that anything that is not of God is sin. Anything that is not of faith is sin. Anything that goes against the word of God is sin. Anything that goes against what God has declared and decreed is sin, glory to God, hallelujah. And we need to check ourselves. We need to just check ourselves. We need to, you know, look at ourselves and realize that just because we sit in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, that's not a guaranteed ticket to heaven. I had to pause right there for a second because people tend to think that because they go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, that that's a guaranteed ticket to heaven. Because they sing on the choir, because they're anointed, you know, and they're able to preach and able to lay hands on the sick, that's a guaranteed ticket to heaven. And let me tell you something. That is not a guarantee to heaven. That's not a guaranteed ticket to heaven. Many people have said with their mouths, have confessed Jesus as Lord. That's not a ticket to heaven. Because the Bible says, and my husband went over this on Wednesday, that not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven. We need to understand. We need to understand that God is sovereign, that God is holy, that God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross at Calvary for us. He didn't do it because he didn't have anything else to do. He did it because he wants us. He wants us. He wants us to be back in right standing with him. He did it because he loves us so much. He did it because he wants us to reign with him forever. But we think that because we're doing this and because we're doing that, that guarantees us a ticket to heaven. And it doesn't. So we need to check ourselves. We need to check ourselves and make sure we're living right according to the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're doing what the Word of God says. Let's just go to the Ten Commandments for a minute in the book of Exodus. And I don't know, this wasn't planned. I didn't plan this at all, going to the book of Exodus. But we just want to go to the book of Exodus for a minute, because what happens a lot of times is we just totally dismiss the Ten Commandments. And these are the commandments that God gave to Moses. And we know that Moses went up to the mountain, went to talk to God. And we know that, you know, as Moses was up there talking to God and God was giving them the commandments, the people were impatient and said, we don't know, Moses went up there, he's not coming back, so let's just make us a God. Let's just make us a God. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that, you know, the foolish man says that there is no God. The foolish man says, you know, God is delayed and he's delaying his coming, so, you know, we could just eat, drink, and be merry and do what we want to do. But I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is here to tell you on tonight that Jesus is coming back, and when he comes back, he's coming at an hour that we think not. He's coming in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is not something that I said. This is something that is in the Word of God, and we're supposed to be ready at all times. Hallelujah. But I want to look at Exodus 20, starting at verse 1, and it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." See, some of us are still in Egypt. Some of us are still in the house of bondage. We have placed other gods before the one and only God. We're still in bondage to our thoughts. We're still in bondage to things of our past. We're in bondage to hurt. We're in bondage to whatever it is that we're in bondage to. Some people, you know, have been molested. Some people have been raped. Some people have been, you know, abandoned. Some people have been rejected. You know, some people have just been mistreated and, you know, physically abused, mentally abused. Some people didn't have none of that, but still in bondage. Still looking for something, still looking for God, but looking for God and everything else. Still, you know, some people bound to cigarettes, some people bound to alcohol, some people bound to, you know, prescription drugs and street drugs. Some people are just bound. Some people bound to sex. Some people, you know, bound to pornography, bound, just bound. Some people are just confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and still slave to sin. Still slaves to sin. Sitting in church Sunday after Sunday, still slaves to sin. In bondage, in Egypt, in the spiritual Egypt, in the spiritual bondage. Serving other gods, whoring after other gods. Don't want the God of creation. Don't want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but searching after other gods. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. Forgive us. Exodus 24 says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, unto them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Today we got people killing people because they're coveting their neighbor's, what their neighbor has. We have people, may not be a physical killing, but we're going around assassinating their character. Sleeping with one another, we have no business sleeping with, lying on one another, stealing from one another, committing adultery. But we're doing this and sitting up in the church every week. Every week sitting in the church and still doing all of these things that God says thou shalt not do. Doing it, sitting in the church, still thinking we're going to heaven. And the Lord is saying that we ought to repent. We ought to repent. We ought to repent. I do know that if you read the Gospels, you will see the story of John the Baptist, one crying in the wilderness. John the Baptist cried in the wilderness, and he urged the people to repent. He urged the people to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He urged the people to come out of their sins. And then Jesus came. Jesus came for the forgiveness of our sins. Yet we still walk around and act like we can do what we want to do. We walk around and act like God has to accept what we do. We walk around and act like we're the Most High. We tell God what to do, and he better listen. That's how we act. Oh, you say, I don't say that. I wouldn't dare say that to God. We don't have to say it. We don't have to say it. It's what we do. My husband would often say, what you do speaks so loudly, I can hardly hear what you say. And God's word says, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Where is our hearts tonight? Where is our hearts tonight? Are our hearts fixed on the things of God? Or are our hearts fixed on what we want to do? Are our hearts fixed on what we want to say? Are our hearts fixed on our emotions? Or are our hearts fixed on God? I tell you, I got to a point this evening where I was talking to my Heavenly Father. And he let me know so clearly. Again, you can't do this on your own. I sent you a helper. I sent you a helper. I sent you a helper to help you in this walk. I sent you a helper to help you in this walk. Who is the helper? The Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, says, and I will pray the Father. This is Jesus talking. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. That's the New King James. I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit is right here. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us, and we don't even call out to the Holy Spirit to help us. We don't even call out to the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth. He is the Spirit of truth, and we don't even call out to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We try to do it our way. We try to walk in our own minds. We try to walk in our own emotions, and we always get in trouble when we do that. But the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is here to help us and to lead us and guide us, and we don't even utilize the Holy Spirit. We don't even utilize the Holy Spirit, our helper. We don't even utilize him, and we walk around and we say things, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of that, I'm sick of this, I'm sick of that. But the Holy Spirit, our helper, is right here to help us, and we don't even utilize him. We were filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but you know him, in John 14, 17, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 7, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus was talking to the disciples. And Jesus did depart, and Jesus did send his Holy Spirit back. But we don't even utilize his Holy Spirit. We try to do this thing in our own strength, and we wonder why we keep falling. We wonder why we can't get past stuck. We wonder why we can't go any further than where we are, because we don't call on the Holy Spirit, our helper. We don't call on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. We don't call on him. We try to do it in our own understanding. We try to do it in head knowledge. We try to do it in our flesh, our own way, and it's not working. John 15, 26 says, but when the helper comes, when the helper comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, Jesus said, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. The Holy Spirit is going to come and reside in us, and he's going to testify of Jesus. Everything that he instructs us to do is going to testify of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell us to be angry and do things that are unseemly and do things that are not right. That is not the Spirit of truth. That is the Spirit of error. That is not from God. That is not from Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell you to commit adultery and commit fornication and lie and steal and get drunk and take pills and get high and lie and commit murder. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell us that that is not the Spirit of truth, that is the Spirit of error. The Holy Spirit is not going to tell us to, you know, be deceptive and act haughty and do things that are not pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit is going to testify of Jesus. Anything the Spirit of truth tells us to do is going to testify of Jesus. It's going to edify and build us up. It's not going to tear us down. But we don't utilize the Holy Spirit. We don't call on the Holy Spirit. We don't call on the helper to help us. Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. And the King James Version says, helps our infirmities.
for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. But we don't even call on the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. Even in our weakness, we should be calling on the Holy Spirit, but we don't call on the Holy Spirit. We try to work it out in our own selves. We try to work it out in our natural minds. We try to work it out as if, you know, we know better than God. But we have the Holy Spirit right at our disposal, just waiting to help us, and we don't call on the Holy Spirit to make intercession for us. Because we don't want to be groaning and doing all that stuff. We want to work it out ourselves. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please. We cannot please God in the flesh. We can't please God in our flesh. We can't please God in the things we do out of our own selves. We can't please God that way. Excuse me. We can't please God out of our flesh. We can't please God by trying to serve him in our minds. We can't please God that way. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Some of us have made decisions based on our emotions. We made decisions based on something that a man or woman told us and didn't even consult God. And we made these decisions based on, you know, our feelings, and now we're looking back and we're like, Lord, I didn't even consult you, and now I'm going through this, and now I'm going through that. I didn't consult you. I did that based on my feelings. I bought that car based on my feeling. I bought that house based on my feeling. I married that person based on my feelings. I had all these children based on my feelings. I took that job because it was based on my feelings. I didn't consult you. I didn't consult the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. We try to learn on our own selves. We listen to everything and everybody else, but the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach us. John 16:13 says, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. He will guide you. We're trying to guide ourselves. We're trying to teach ourselves. We're trying to pray everything but the will of God. And the Holy Spirit, our helper, who is here, we won't even utilize him. We won't even utilize him. Why? Because we think that we can do it ourselves. We're so used to doing it ourselves. And I walk around sometimes and I say, Lord, you know, I just feel so alone. I just feel like, you know, out there on the water by myself, out there in the middle of the ocean, all by myself, arms flailing around, no lifeboat, no buoy, no nothing for me to hold on. Sometimes I feel like I'm out there drowning, and the Holy Spirit is right there, waiting to help me. And I don't even call on the Holy Spirit. Does that sound familiar? And let me just say this before I forget. We got to be careful who we hang around with. We got to be careful who we let minister into our lives, who we let speak into our lives. We got to be careful about who we take counsel from. We got to be careful about the things that we allow into our spirit through our eyes, through our ears. We got to be so careful. especially if you're in a place of weakness. Especially if you've opened up the door and let the enemy come in. You got to be so careful. Because not everybody is sent from God. Not everybody has your best interest in heart. And we all know that the enemy does not have our interest in, at heart at all. We all know that the thief cometh not before to kill, to steal, and destroy. We know that. However, there is a but. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:16 said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you know tonight that you are a child of God? Do you know tonight that you are a child of God? Are you living like a child of God? Are you going to church week after week after week after week? Have you been in church for 10, 15, 20 years and your life is still the same? Are you still operating on something somebody's done did to you 10, 15, 20 years ago? Are you still holding on to unforgiveness? Are you still holding on to bitterness and anger? It's time for us to do a self-evaluation. Time out for the okey-doke. Time out for the rest of the foolishness that's going on in the earth. Time out. It's time to do a self-assessment. It's time to do an introspective look. Take a look. A true look. Not something that you made up. The real stuff. The real stuff that we're still holding on to. The real stuff that, the hidden stuff. You know? The hidden stuff. Can we forgive and forget? Can we let go? Can we love without condition? The Holy Spirit is right here to help us. The Holy Spirit is right here to help us. The Bible tells us in Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power. But you shall receive power when? When the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnesses of me, Jesus said. In Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is what the Word of God says. But we walking around powerless. We walking around defeated. We walking around acting like we have no power. We walking around looking to other things to make us happy. We looking to other people to make us happy. Because we've conditioned ourselves to think that we need people and we need things to make us happy. When we have God right here, when we have the Holy Spirit right here, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about God, and we talk about Jesus, but we're walking around powerless. Walking around allowing situations and circumstances to rule us instead of calling on the Holy Spirit, our helper, to help us and to lead us and guide us into truth about every situation. We walk around powerless. Why? Because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and guide us to all truth. We forget about the third person of the Godhead, who Jesus said he was sending back to us to help us. We don't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We walk around powerless. We walk around like Popeye before he takes his spinach. You know, you've seen Popeye. Popeye don't have any power until he opens up that can of spinach. Superman has power until that Krypton gets to him, Kryptonite or whatever it's called. Once that Kryptonite gets to him, it renders him powerless. And we walking around acting like we've been rendered powerless when the Holy Spirit is right here to help us, to lead us and guide us into all truth. Holy Spirit, should I marry that person? Holy Spirit, should I go to that church? Holy Spirit, should I be hanging around this person? Holy Spirit, help me to keep my mouth shut. Holy Spirit, pray for me because I don't even know what to pray for as I ought to. Holy Spirit, should I spend this money on this or that? Holy Spirit, what do I do? People say it don't take all that. Yes, it does. Holy Spirit, when I get up today as I rise, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into all truth. But we don't say that. We don't do that because we're led by our flesh. We talk good games. But when it comes down to it, when it really comes down to it, are we really being led by the Holy Spirit of God? Are we really being led by the Spirit of truth? Are we really allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and to lead us? If we were, it wouldn't be so much foolishness going on. If we were, it wouldn't be so many marriages dissolving in divorce. It wouldn't be so many people coming against each other. Churches wouldn't be splitting up. People wouldn't be coming against each other, lying on each other, committing a character assassination, stealing from each other, sleeping with other people's husbands and wives, fornicating. If we were led by the Holy Spirit of God, these things would not even be named among us. When the Bible tells us, let not these things be named among us as becometh saints. And we as children of God are acting just like the world because we are not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to help us. We're going based on what we see with our natural eyes and what we hear with our natural ears and what we feel and our emotions instead of being led by the Holy Spirit of God. When he gave us his spirit, he sent his spirit back. He sent his spirit to help us. Yet we walk around powerless. We walk around and let the enemy just wreak havoc in our homes. We let the enemy wreak havoc on our jobs. We let the enemy wreak havoc in our families. And we sit around and we play patty cake with him and entertain stupid thoughts. And as we entertain those stupid thoughts, the more we entertain those stupid thoughts, then we begin to act on them. And then when we act on them, when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. And we wonder why everything around us is dead. We wonder why nothing around us is growing. We wonder why, because we're not abiding in the vine. We're not abiding in the vine. We need to check ourselves and see if we've been cast forth into the fire. Every branch that bringeth not fruit is cut off and cast into the fire. We need to check ourselves. Let's see where we really stand with God. It doesn't matter if my name is Evangelist Teresa. That's not what God calls me. It don't matter if you're the Pope. It don't matter if you're a bishop or the apostle. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is our heart right with God? Are we walking up right before him like we're supposed to? Are we living holy? Are we living like we're washed? Are we living like we're justified? Are we living like we're sanctified? Are we living like we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Or are we just faking a funk? Or are we just walking around, you know, living a pseudo-Christian life? We're just walking around pretending to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're just walking around saying things. We're walking around like the scribes and the Pharisees. We're open around like the sepulcher. The outside of it is all nice and white, but the inside is full of dead men's bones. Walking around dead. Walking around like Samson, when Samson gave away his secret to Delilah and Delilah cut his hair and he lost all his power. He couldn't even shake a flea off of him. He lost all his power. Got his eyes gouged out. But at the end, but why do we got to wait till the end? At the end, when his hair grew back, nobody really realized that his hair grew back. Nobody realized that he got his power back. So at the end, he did more damage in the end than he'd done before all of that happened. But why we got to wait till the end? Why we got to wait to go through all of that? Why we got to get our eyes gouged out? Why we got to get our power taken? Why we got to be like that? We got the power of the Holy Ghost right here. And we don't even utilize the Holy Spirit. We just, you know. Do what we do and keep it moving. I think we're going to end the broadcast here tonight because I just need to go and pray. And I just pray that you pray. And I just checked back in the chat room and I'm looking at, you know, you all been saying, my husband has been saying things and he says, so dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation whatsoever to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you keep on following it, you will perish. But if you through the power of the Holy Spirit you turn from it and its evil deeds, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And guess what? But if ye through the Holy Spirit mortify the deeds of your flesh. We try to do it ourselves. We want to do it ourselves. We can't. I was talking to someone today, and, you know, I was looking on Facebook and, you know, just looking at some things that people are going through. And I tell you, it's such a heavy spirit of depression. And I understand that it's this time of the year that depression runs rampant, but it's so heavy. It seems like it's so thick in the air. It's just everywhere I turn, it's depression, it's depression, it's depression. You know, and today I found myself depressed. I was upset about some things, you know, some things going on in my body, some things going on in my life. And I was just depressed. And when I left out of the house and I said, you know, I'm just not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be bound by this thing. I don't have to be. I'm not dealing with it. And, you know, the person that I was with, you know, we were talking and, you know, later on I understood why they were saying what they said, but you know, the Satan comes to tempt you and comes to knock you off your square. And he comes to make you think that other things outside of God is going to make you happy. You know, we put our trust in man to make us happy. You know, us women, we are so emotional. We put our trust in a man to make us happy. And a man, they can't make us happy. Our happiness is not in the man. We shouldn't be looking to men to make us happy. We shouldn't be looking to them to make us happy in the same way. Men should not be looking to us, women, to make them happy. We should be seeking joy. Our joy is in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We should be seeking the Lord. But yet we keep looking to people, and every time we turn around, people disappoint us. We disappoint them, they disappoint us. But yet we keep looking to these people, and they can't help us. And a person that I was talking to today, you know, as we were walking, you know, they were saying, you know, and I looked at the Facebook page and they were saying, you know, man, I need a drink. I need a drink. You know, and I'm going to keep it 100. You know, Satan been trying to tempt me with drinking because I keep telling people that God delivered me from being an alcoholic. God delivered me from drunkenness. God delivered me from that. And now the temptation is coming to want me to drink. You know, go ahead out there. You said God delivered you. Go ahead out there. Take a drink. Take one drink. It's not going to hurt you. Go ahead. Now, who going to know? It's not going to hurt nobody. Go on and take a drink. You know you feeling this way right now. When you feeling this, you deserve a drink, girl. Go ahead and get a drink. Why? Because people that come around me, you know, they feel like it's okay for them to talk Christ and drink. They're not doing it like they used to, but, you know, they'll say, you know, I need to take a drink. What is the drink going to do? And that's what I said to them. What is the drink going to do? We need Jesus. We don't need no drink because after you get finished drinking, whatever you was going through before you took that drink, you still going to be going through it after you sober up. That drink is not going to do anything, not to help you. You might think it's helping you, but it's not. It's a distraction. It's opening up the door for the enemy to come in. It's just another way for Satan to take advantage, to have an advantage over you. That's what it is. And maybe it's not drinking. Maybe it's, oh, man, I'm under so much stress, I need to take I need to go get a cigarette. Maybe, you know, I need to go ahead and smoke this weed because I'm under so much stress. My wife is getting on my nerves so bad, I need to go and, you know, maybe I need to go hook up with somebody else because my wife is getting on my nerves so bad. Maybe I need to look at this porno because, you know, it just ain't working. Maybe, you know, whatever. Maybe I need to go and take these pills because, you know, my husband is just, he's not doing it for me. So maybe I need to take these pills to forget about it. And see, the enemy will come in to use circumstances and situations. He'll see that, you know, you're stressing and you're not calling on the Holy Spirit, your helper. You're not calling on the Spirit of truth to help you. You're not calling on the Holy Spirit to pray for you, you know, with groanings that can't be uttered. So you look into these other things, these other gods. Exodus says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. We trust in a bottle of liquor. We trust in a cigarette. We trust in a pill. We trust in weed. We trust in sex. We trust in somebody else, but we won't trust God. He said, thou shalt have no other god before me. We make our spouses our god, our children our god, money our god, our things God. When God clearly says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And we can't even lie and say that, oh, yeah, I'm really into God, when we can't even love people that we see every single day. We can't get over the fact that somebody did something to you 10 years ago and look at them every day. Husbands can't love their wives. Wives can't love their husbands. Husbands can't treat their wives right. Husbands waiting on the wives to do right. Wives waiting for the husbands to do right. Oh, we can't get it together. Let's just go get divorced. Why? Because love is not there. Not the love of God. Not the agape love. And we're definitely not being led by the Holy Spirit of God. But sitting up in church every Sunday, behind a pulpit preaching every week, on Blog Talk Radio every week, on these new, whatever these new things are out, you know, on Skype, preaching to people and telling people what is and what isn't. But your house look like hell. Oh, no, but I'm holy. Oh, no, but I'm a child of God because I go to church every Sunday. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm the first one there. Sitting in church Sunday after Sunday, going to hell. If your name is not, if my name is not, if our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we ain't going to heaven. If we're not living according to what God says, if we're not living according to what God says, the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if we're not living according to what he says, don't look forward to going to heaven. I'm not saying this to pass judgment on anybody. What I'm saying is that we cannot expect to keep living unholy and expect to reign and live forever with a holy God. We can't continue to go around and play church, walking around with a mask on, walking around with these titles, thinking we're all this and all that because we got titles, thinking because we can preach so good and we can teach so good that we got an automatic ticket to heaven. Deception is ruining people. Deception has people fooled to thinking that, you know, okay, you good, you all right with God. No, God is telling us tonight that we got to take a inside look. We got to look at ourselves. We got to get ourselves clean. We got to live like we've been washed, that we've been sanctified and we've been justified. We got to live like we're the righteousness of God in Jesus. We got to live like we're joint heirs, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We got to live like Jesus was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. We got to live like that. We got to live like that. But first, we got to be clean inside. We got to be clean inside. We got to be clean inside. We got to allow the blood of Jesus to wash us. We got to allow the word of God to transform us. We got to allow the word of God to wash us. The Bible says, wash with the water of the word. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to help us. But see, it takes humility. It takes us to whatever our thinking is, we got to get rid of it. And that takes humility. We got to get rid of our stinking thinking. We got to get rid of what we've been conditioned and programmed to believe. We gotta change our mind about the way we think about things. We wonder why we keep getting the same results because we keep doing the same thing. Why my children don't behave? Because you're not doing anything different. You still walking around cussing. You still walking around calling them stupid. You still walking around calling them ignorant. You still walking around telling them they never going to be nothing. And that's why they still acting the way they're acting, because you're still doing the same thing, child of God. You wonder why your home is messed up. Because you're walking around still doing the same thing, not praying, not fasting, not studying the word of God, using your mouth as a weapon, using your mouth to make you a murderer, stealing life out of people, stealing life out of people. And you wonder why things are not changing. They're not changing because you're not doing anything differently. You're still operating out of your flesh. The Bible says those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we're still walking around doing things according to our flesh, if we're still doing things according to our emotions, if we're still doing things according to the way, you know, we're used to doing them, and we're not giving way to the Holy Spirit, and we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and guide us into all truth, and we're not allowing the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come in and help us, how do we expect anything to be any different? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people that are called by my name will humble themselves. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to submit to God. Humble ourselves and pray. We don't want to humble ourselves. We don't want to pray. We don't want to seek God's face. We don't want to turn from our wicked ways. But we want God to, oh, God, I need you to do this and I need you to do that in our time of trouble. Oh, God, yeah, we know how to call on God then when trouble comes, when we run out of money, when we're on our way to divorce court, when our kids done got locked up. We know how to run to God for that. The Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who Jesus sent back. Jesus said, I have to go away. I got to go away. He went away. He said, I'm going to send you another helper. And he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, just waiting for us to ask him to help us. Just waiting for us to ask him to pray for us, because we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. To ask him to lead us and guide us into all truth. To help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. We won't ask him because we know better. We won't ask him because we don't want to let go of that pride. Oh, no, I'm not going to, I can't let my guard down. No, I got to be mean and nasty. I got to be that way. I got to be resentful. I got to hide behind these walls that I done built up. I got to do that because if I tear these walls down and if I keep walking around, you know, if I don't be angry and mean, then they're going to take advantage of me. They're going to think I'm weak. Foolishness. We scared to change. We scared to allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Because we've been holding on to this foolishness for so long. It's become a way of life. We were too scared to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and help us. Oh, because I don't know who I'm going to be if I allow the Holy Spirit to come in and lead me and guide me to all truth. I'm not going to know who I am anymore. You're not supposed to know who you are anymore. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're not supposed to look like our old selves anymore. We're supposed to be looking like the image of God. We're supposed to look like Christ and smell like him. Be like him. So that the things that we do won't reach the nostrils of God as a stinky smell. But it'll be a sweet smelling savor to him. But we walking around just funky and dirty and nasty. Somebody, what's the name of that song? It says, that is why I'm happy tonight. That is why I'm happy. That is why I'm happy. That's why I'm happy tonight. It says, I gave him my old filthy garments and he gave me a robe of pure white. Some of us act like we still pigs rolling around in the trough, in the mud. Not like we've been washed in the blood. We don't act like we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We don't act like we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We don't act like the Holy Spirit was sent back for us. We try to reason with our little finite minds. And say, what is this Holy Spirit? What is this Holy Spirit? I don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. Ask him. Jesus said he'll give it to us if we ask. He said he was going to send it back, the Holy Spirit back to us. We read that. We read it earlier. John 14:16-18. John 14:16-18. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus calls him the helper, and he calls him the spirit of truth. And verse 18 says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. John 16, verse 7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper, here he is again talking about the helper. The helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. John 15, this is three, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, and John chapter 14 talks about the helper. But when the helper comes, who I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. The helper, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. This is what the helper. Jesus wants us to know the Holy Spirit as our helper. Romans 8 says the same. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. It says the Spirit helps our infirmities. The Spirit helps our weakness. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which can't be uttered. But we still want to try to do things in our own selves. We still want to, you know, work it out our own way. We still want to look to man, look to woman, look to money, go to the church building and wait for the man to lay hands on us. Look at the TV, place your hand on the TV, and believe with me. I mean, we got the Word of God right here. For those who need that, got to place your hand on the TV and all that, that's good for you if that's what you need. If you need a point of contact to do that, that's good. But you got a point of contact right there, your Bible. You got 66 points of contact contained within one book. I tell you what. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. But we grieve the Holy Spirit of God because we don't even invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We don't even invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. We got this. We act as if we don't need the Holy Spirit in our lives. And the way some of our lives look, oh, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. I'm raising my hand. We need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in my life. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in my marriage. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me for this Blog Talk Radio. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me to evangelize. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me to minister to my family. I need the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. I need the Holy Spirit to pray for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. I don't care who don't like it. I don't care who don't believe, you know, that, oh, yeah, well, she said this before and she's not going to do this. I don't care who's saying that in their mind. I don't care who like it or who don't like it. This is what I have to do to save my soul, to make sure my soul is lined up so that when God calls my number, when he says it's time to go, I'll be ready. I don't want, you know, to have grace to keep pleading my case, or keep sinning so grace may abound. I don't want that. I thank God for his grace and his mercy, but I want my life to be hid in Christ. I want my life to be pleasing to God. Y'all might not like it. Y'all might not like me, but that's okay. Because guess what? My name needs to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's where my name needs to be. Husband, children, sisters, brothers, mothers, fathers, uncles, aunties, friends. Don't nobody got a book of life that they can put my name in. Just like I don't have a book of life that I can put your name in. We all have to strive to live right, but we try to do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to help us. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us. The Holy Spirit is going to pray, but we don't do it. We don't invite the Holy Spirit in. We think we know it all. Got the Word of God sitting right here in our face and don't even utilize it. We don't even utilize the Word of God. Now we're not even talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Word of God sitting right here in our face and we won't even utilize it. Walk around defeated, powerless. Got the can of spinach right there and won't even open it. Keep going back to that kryptonite. Keep going back to the same old kryptonite that keep rendering you powerless. The same old kryptonite. You know it renders you powerless, and you keep going back to it. My. Lord, today, anybody in the chat room have any questions? Anybody on the phone line have any questions? If you do, now will be the time to ask, because we're about to end the broadcast on tonight. If the Lord wills, we'll be back on Monday at 8 p.m. But in the meantime, today is Saturday. In the meantime, pray. Invite the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come into your life and help you and lead you and guide you into all truth and to pray for you, because you don't know what to pray for as you ought. You're going through a situation right now where you just don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit is right there. You pray. You ask the Holy Spirit to pray. Holy Spirit, I don't know how to deal with this situation. Holy Spirit, I need you to pray about this situation. Holy Spirit, my kids are echoing like they just came out the Philadelphia Zoo. I need you to help me with my children. Holy Spirit, help me to pray for my children. Help me to pray for my child who keeps trying to commit suicide. Help me to pray for my child whose marriage just broke up. Help me to pray for my child who is on drugs. Help me to pray for my child who's a fornicator out there dropping it like it's hot, giving it to anybody that say, oh, you look good. Help me to pray, Lord, for my marriage. Help me to pray, Holy Spirit, for my marriage. Help me. Lead me, Holy Spirit. Lead my husband, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I need to pray for my pastors. I don't know what to pray for. Holy Spirit, help me to pray for my pastors. Help me pray for my leaders. Help me to pray for the president. Help me to pray for whatever it is that you're going through. Stop sitting in church going to hell every week. Stop sitting and listening to the word every week and still going to hell. Stop reading your Bible every day and don't do anything that it says. Still going to hell. Reading the Bible just because somebody said read it, not applying none of it to your life. Oh, I've been reading the Bible for 20 years, and you still act the same that you acted 20 years ago. Why? Because you don't allow the Holy Spirit in your life. You don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. I was upset today. I was depressed today. And I'm telling you, as I began to sit in here and talk to the Lord and talk to the Holy Spirit, he began to help me. Because I had to call on him myself. I didn't call a pastor. I didn't call, you know, people on Facebook. I didn't call anybody. I had to have the Holy Spirit help me. And I told my husband, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And that's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants. Because he doesn't want somebody else to get blessed. And that's all I kept hearing in my head. Why would you not do the broadcast? Why would you not do the broadcast? Oh, because of what you feel right now. Oh, I understand. It's because of what you feel. So you're going to call somebody else to miss out on what they need to hear because of what you feel. Oh, so you're going by your emotions, not by the Holy Spirit. Oh. So I had to get it together. So y'all think this broadcast is really for y'all? Okay, it is. But it's for me. The Holy Spirit had to come and convict me. The Holy Spirit had to come and get me, to get me right. There is nothing that this world has to offer me that is better than the Holy Spirit helping me and leading me to truth and praying for me, because I don't know what to pray for. Ain't no sex. Ain't no money. Ain't no pill. I looked at this movie today with this man. It was called Limitless. And he was taking these pills. And these pills made him smart. And he was getting all these, you know, all this money as a result of his, you know, intelligence. This pill made him, you know a lot of things that other people didn't know. And I sat with my sister and I said, I wish I had that pill. I wish I had a pill like that to make me smart, to give me wisdom. And the Holy Spirit let me know, you have it already. It's just not a pill. It's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Lord will give us witty inventions. The Bible also tells us don't seek to be rich, because then when we get rich, we forget about God. That's what the Bible says. I hope that this message on tonight made sense to somebody. I know it made sense to me. I feel like I've been recharged. I don't know about you. Maybe you didn't need to be recharged, but I did. I don't want to be religious anymore. I don't want to be religious. I want to be spiritual. I want the Holy Spirit, my helper. I want the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I want you to come in my life and help me. Those of you that are in the chat room, if you believe you can get a prayer through, pray for me. On the phone lines, if you believe you can get a prayer through, pray for me. Don't be praying no witchcraft prayers over me, though. Lord, you know she this, and Lord, you know she that, and you need to fix her. If you want to pray like that, don't pray for me. If you want to pray like that, nope, don't pray for me. Just pray for me that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled and filled again and filled again and filled again. C.C. Winans wrote a song, and I love that song, and I got to find it so I can play it. It's called Fill My Cup, Lord. She says, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this burning in my soul. That's what I want him to do. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. I want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to just come and help me. I want the Holy Spirit to come and help you. See, we fear change, and that's not of God. That's not of God at all. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Can you pray for me? That I get filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you pray for you? That you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, this some of this foolishness that's going on, it's not going to be going on. Because the Holy Spirit is not foolish. The Holy Spirit is going to do things that points to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is going to help us. And because the Holy Spirit is God, he's part of the Godhead, you think he's going to do something wrong? He can't do anything wrong. But he will lead us and guide us into truth. So if you believe that, pray for me, pray for yourself. I'll pray for you, and I'll pray for myself as well. So since nobody has any questions, nobody has any comments, we're going to close this out. This is the third time that I've said we're going to close, and I mean it this time. We're going to close this broadcast out. I thank everybody for being on the phone lines, everybody for being in the chat room. I pray that every person that listens to this broadcast in the archives, that you will hear a word from the Lord. If it's something that you need, that you would apply it to your life. That you will pray so that the enemy will not come and snatch it from you. But I pray that anything that we've heard on tonight, that we will all be hearers and doers of the word. That we will recognize that this is God's word. This is not Teresa, this is God's word. The scriptures on the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. John, the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 7. The Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 26. And Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We also went over the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the Ten Commandments. We read from verse 1 to verse 17. So, God bless you. God keep you. And if it is the Lord's will, we will be back on the radio again on Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Monday is the 22nd. The 21st. I'm sorry. The 21st of November. God bless you. We love you. And remember to invite the Holy Spirit in to lead you into all truth, to help you, and to pray, because we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Good night. God bless you.